U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in the Middle East, where Jordan's King Abdullah urged him to use Washington's influence over Israel to press for an immediate ceasefire. Some Boeing 737 MAX jetliners remain grounded until U.S. regulators can be sure they're safe to fly.
The door blew out at altitude 16,000 feet some 8 or 9 minutes after takeoff.
And it's the mecca of electronics, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, where every year you get to see the newest TVs, car electronics, computers, watches, appliances, all before they hit the stores. Today is Monday, January 8th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Scott Walterman. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is back in the Middle East. VOA's Veronica Balderas Iglesias reports Blinken has met with several Arab leaders so far, with more on his agenda before arriving in Israel.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's agenda was packed with high-level meetings in the Arab world Sunday as part of his efforts to ease regional tensions and prevent the widening of the Israel-Hamas war. The latest conflict began when Hamas launched a terrorist incursion into Israeli territory on October 7, killing around 1,200 people and taking about 240 hostages. After meeting with his Jordanian counterpart, Ayman Safadi, Blinken toured a warehouse of the World Food Program.
It is imperative that we maximize assistance to people in need. Not only do we get it to Gaza and into Gaza, but once it's in Gaza, that it can be effectively distributed, equally needed everywhere in Gaza. We'll be working on that in phase ahead as well.
The top U.S. diplomat also visited Qatar and held talks with Prime Minister Mohammed bin Abdulrahman al-Thani. During their joint news conference, Blinken rejected recent statements by some Israeli cabinet members calling for the forced resettlement of Palestinians outside of Gaza.
These statements are irresponsible, they're inflammatory, and they only make it harder to secure a future Palestinian-led Gaza, with Hamas no longer in control and with terrorist groups no longer able to threaten Israel's security.
The expulsion of Palestinians from the Gaza Strip is not the Jewish state's official position, clarified Israeli President Isaac Herzog during an appearance on NBC's Meet the Press.
In a cabinet of 30 ministers where it's not the security cabinet, a minister can say whatever he wants. I may not like it, but this is Israeli politics. But really, I'm saying outright, officially and unequivocally, this is not the Israeli position.
The current war won't end, however, until all its objectives are met, reiterated Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu during a cabinet meeting.
The elimination of Hamas, the return of all our hostages, and the promise that Gaza won't pose a threat to Israel anymore.
Pressure keeps mounting on Israel to protect Palestinian civilian lives, and Blinken said he'll bring up the topic again during the discussions he'll hold this week in Israel. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
Jordan's King Abdullah urged Blinken to use Washington's influence over Israel to press it for an immediate ceasefire. In Qatar, Blinken said he would talk to Israel about that and about getting more aid into Gaza.
It is absolutely imperative that more be done, that Israel do more to protect civilians and, with others, enable more humanitarian assistance to get where it's needed and to whom it's needed. And that will be one focus of my conversations when I get to Israel. The dilemma that's been posed from day one, since October 7th, the dilemma that any country would face is having been the victim of one of the most horrible attacks that I'm aware of, that I've ever witnessed in my 30 years, how to make sure it doesn't happen again. And any country faced with what Israel had to face on October 7th would want to do just that, make sure it could not happen again. And that means dealing with the threat that that Hamas continues to pose. And as Hamas leaders themselves have made clear, they would, if given the opportunity, do this October 7th again and again and again. And that is not tolerable for any country, Israel or anyone else. But as we've made clear also from day one, it's imperative that in dealing with this very, very difficult challenge, that it do so in a way that puts a premium on protecting civilians and on making sure that people get the assistance they need.
Blinken will hold talks in the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia on Monday before heading to Israel. Hamas is a U.S.-designated terrorist group. On Friday, a panel blew out on a Boeing jetliner about 10 minutes after it took off, leaving a refrigerator-sized hole in the side of the plane. Reuters correspondent Freddie Joyner reports some Boeing jets will remain grounded until U.S. regulators determine they're safe to fly again.
We are very, very fortunate here that this didn't end up in something more tragic.
Those words came from U.S. National Transportation Safety Board Chair Jennifer Homendy late Saturday, addressing an Alaska Airlines Boeing 737 MAX 9 accident where the cabin panel blew out a day prior, forcing an emergency landing in Portland, Oregon. U.S. authorities on Sunday appealed for public help in the search for the missing panel. The panel is likely to have landed somewhere in the western suburbs of Portland, but has not yet been found.
No one was seated in 26 A and B, where that door plug is. The aircraft was around 16,000 feet and only 10 minutes out from the airport when the door blew.
Sources told Reuters aerospace supplier Spirit AeroSystems manufactured and initially installed the fuselage part on the brand new MAX 9, but added that Boeing also has a key role in the usual completion process. Because of a complex two-tier installation system, investigators are expected to examine whether any flaws occurred at Spirit's giant fuselage plant in Wichita, Kansas, or at the Boeing factory outside Seattle. On Saturday, the Federal Aviation Administration grounded 171 Boeing 737 MAX 9 jetliners for safety checks after the emergency landing of the plane that had been in service for just 8 weeks. The FAA did not rule out further action as a probe began into the potential structural failure. The jet accident Friday forced pilots to turn back and land safely with all 171 passengers and 6 crew on board. Only minor injuries were reported.
Reuters correspondent Freddie Joyner. Joining us now to talk about this is Captain Richard Levy. He has 40 years of experience with American Airlines as a pilot, flying Boeing 727s and 757s, 767s, and 777s, and now teaches how to fly, among other jets, 737s like the one that had the accident. I want to begin by putting into English for us, because we keep hearing about what they call a door plug. But for those of us who aren't in the aviation industry, what is that?
What it allows for is if Alaska Airlines were to change their seating configuration, Scott, so that they could seat many, many more passengers, then they would require by federal regulations another emergency exit. They would then take that door plug out and install an emergency exit. Emergency exits are based on the number of passengers.
So they plugged a hole where there would be a door if they needed a door.
Absolutely correct.
So what happened on the plane? I assume, without actually knowing the ultimate end of the investigation, I assume that something was installed incorrectly and that under pressure, because this plane was only a couple of weeks old.
It's about almost 3 months old, as I understand it, but it's very new, came out of Boeing and then received by Alaska, and it goes through their checkover like you would do when you have a new car. You look it over, et cetera. And what you mentioned is exactly, in my opinion, where the investigation is going. I'm not going to comment on rumors because you and I know that that's not fair to comment on rumors. But what you're talking is that where I believe the investigation is going to go. First of all, as you know, the door blew out at altitude of 16,000 feet some 8 or 9 minutes after takeoff. Not that high. The cabin's pressurized, so there's a difference in the pressure inside the cabin versus outside. And when the door left the airplane, there's a big rush of air out of the airplane. Was there maintenance accomplished on this particular airplane for any reason in the past, in the recent past? The airplane's not that old, as you mentioned. Was there maintenance performed on the plug door for whatever reason? And then, of course, it was reinstalled back on the airplane. They're going to look and see, it'll be in the maintenance logs, just federal regulations, who installed the plug door back onto the airplane.
So there aren't really very many of these planes. It's a fairly new model of the 737. I understand it's like a little bit less than 200 of them in service with the door plug installed.
The official number is 171. They're going to check the plug doors, the installation of all of them.
Now, you've flown as a pilot 727, 757, 767, and the 777, and you're doing training in the 737 MAXs.
Correct.
This plane, this is the second time that there has been an issue with the 737 MAX series. MAX 8s were grounded for a long time.
Right.
Is this just a random coincidence, or has something happened culturally at Boeing that you think may have led to these new airplanes having issues?
Good question, Scott. No, in my opinion, with the limited evidence has been presented at this point, first of all, there's zero relationship between the Lion Air accident in Indonesia and the same type of accident in Ethiopia for that duplication of those accidents to happen again. And I see it as a coincidence, but in my opinion, unrelated to this door plug failure that you just we've all seen that happened on Friday night.
So what would you say to, people all over the world who are flying after this incident?
I would say once the United States Federal Aviation Administration will not allow or give the green light for these airplanes to fly again until they are 100% convinced that they understand where this failure took place. And then that's A, and then B, that the correct checks have been made to ascertain that this plug door is fastened correctly.
Aviation expert Richard Levy. We're following these other stories from around the world. Bangladesh's Prime Minister, Sheikh Hasina, won re-election for a fifth term Sunday following a boycott led by an opposition party she branded as a terrorist organization. An election commission spokesperson told the news service AFP her party received a majority of the votes. She has presided over breakneck economic growth in a country once beset by grinding poverty. But her government has been accused of rampant human rights abuses and a ruthless opposition crackdown. U.S. congressional leaders have reached an agreement that could help avoid a partial government shutdown later this month. House Speaker Mike Johnson is hailing the agreement in a letter to his colleagues as the most favorable budget agreement Republicans have achieved in more than 10 years. President Joe Biden says the agreement is one step closer to preventing a needless government shutdown and protecting important national priorities. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin remains in the hospital as more details emerge about why key decision makers, including President Joe Biden, were kept in the dark for days that Austin had been in the intensive care unit at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. That's according to three people with knowledge of the hospitalization who were not authorized to speak publicly and spoke to the Associated Press on condition of anonymity. Ukraine's president says his country can defeat Russian aggression with continued and expanding Western support. This is Russia's invasion of its neighbor appears set to enter its third year. Here's VOA's Arash Arabasadi.
Rescue workers in the Ukrainian city of Dnipro fight fires following a Russian drone strike Saturday. Ukraine's Air Force issued a statement on its Telegram channel saying overnight it destroyed 21 of Russia's 28 attack drones, without mentioning three cruise missiles also launched in the assault. VOA cannot independently verify the report, but Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says only with increased cooperation can Russian aggression be defeated. Zelensky speaking at the Society and Defense Annual National Conference in Sweden as carried by Reuters.
To create an arsenal for the defense of freedom, Europe needs joint weapons production, much larger scale production than now. We see that Russia's aggressive ambitions can be stopped only where there is sufficient strength to stop them. And we will provide such strength only together.
Zelensky echoing Ukraine's defense industry head from late last year. Ukraine's Minister of Strategic Industries, Oleksandr Kamyshyn, speaking with the Associated Press.
Now we're refocusing on making Ukraine the arsenal of the free world. We are focusing on producing all types of weapons and ammunition, and we show that we can test it on the battlefield and make it better during the war. That's something we can contribute to the free world.
In the closing days of 2023 and so far this year, Russia deployed nearly 300 missiles and more than 200 drones in attacks on Ukraine. And while Russia has relied on Iran for many of its drones, Ukrainian investigators and the White House say Russia recently began using North Korean-supplied ballistic missiles in attacks across Ukraine, a move described as a major escalation. Russia and North Korea deny the partnership. That doesn't mean that Russia abandoned its own missile systems, however. As Zelensky said, Moscow fired its conventional S-300 missiles into Ukraine's Donetsk region, killing at least 11, nearly half of them children. Rescue efforts are ongoing. With Russia's invasion of Ukraine nearly entering a third year, Kyiv continues its push for material support while urging its Western partners to consider it a hub of Allied weapon production. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
VOA's International Edition continues. I'm Scott Walterman. And finally, every year in the United States, in the U.S. city of Las Vegas, there is an electronic show. I've been there. It's almost impossible to tell you, to describe to you just how big it is. It's hectares and hectares of floor space with the largest gadgets from big things like tractors and cars that drive themselves, to tiny little things like hearing aids. It is nirvana for all things new in the world of tech. VOA's Julie Tabo gives us a preview of the Consumer Electronics Show 2024.
So is there anything I can touch?
Thousands of visitors are expected to see, hear, and experience the latest innovations in technology at CES 2024. This year's Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. The largest consumer technology event in the world will be even bigger this time around, with a 10% increase in exhibit space and more than 3,500 exhibitors.
We really do represent the entire tech ecosystem. So it could be those healthcare companies, those transportation mobility companies, drone companies, 3D printing companies, lifestyle technology companies, smart home companies.
More than 300 manufacturers make up the transportation category alone.
That includes companies like BMW, Mercedes-Benz, Hyundai, and Kia.
And more than 1,000 of the exhibitors will be startups.
I see entrepreneurs that are very passionate about their product. And it's not just a product to make money, but more to solve a problem.
Which ties in nicely with the show's theme of technology for good.
For me, that's what's most inspiring, is to see those companies that are developing those products with, you know, good intent to change the world and make it a better place.
Artificial intelligence is expected to dominate the exhibit floor, especially in key areas where there's been explosive growth.
You'll see how artificial intelligence is powering automobiles.
And AI is increasingly present in healthcare.
It's an explosive area of growth. What we're seeing is new different types of solutions to help patients, the end users, the consumers, connect with their doctors, connect with their healthcare providers to provide solutions to better improve their health.
Attendees will also get to see goods and services from many eco-minded companies.
Companies utilizing clean energy or showcasing technologies that are conserve energy. We're also seeing it show up in like the agricultural and food tech category, where companies are showcasing how they are producing in an energy efficient way, in a more efficient way, if you will, to solve food scarcities.
Show organizers expect 130,000 visitors from 150 countries with a large presence from Asia.
China will have a large presence. Korea will have a very large presence. Asia is such an important market for the tech ecosystem that, you know, it wouldn't be CES if there wasn't a strong Asian presence at the show.
Representing the best of global technology, nearly one-third of exhibitors at CES 2024 are from overseas.
This is that Panasonic at CES.
Julie Tabo, VOA News.
This has been International Edition on The Voice of America. On behalf of everyone here at VOA, thank you so much for joining us. For pictures, stories, videos, and more, follow VOA News on your favorite social media platform and online at voanews.com. In Washington, I'm Scott Walter.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The Russian Federation ended the old year and welcomed the new, as one would have expected of a country that has no respect for human beings, human rights, or international law. By continuing its shameless attacks on Ukrainian civilian populations and infrastructure. Indeed, according to the United Nations Assistant Secretary General for the Middle East, Asia, and the Pacific, and the Departments of Political and Peacebuilding Affairs and Peace Operations, Khaled Kiari, the intensity of the attacks is escalating. On December 27th, Russia conducted one of the largest aerial assaults since its full-scale invasion began in February 2022, launching 158 combined drones and missiles against Ukraine. This assault is a stark reminder that after nearly 2 years of this devastating war, Putin's objective remains unchanged. He seeks to obliterate Ukraine and subjugate its people, said John Kelly, political minister counselor at the United States mission to the United Nations.
Rather than peace, Putin chose to mark this holiday season and usher in the new year with an unprecedented number of drone and missile attacks against another UN member state. Current estimates are these strikes killed at least 30 and injured more than 120 others. And these numbers are expected to climb. The blasts were nationwide. There were reports of strikes hitting a maternity hospital, a kindergarten, a shopping mall, a metro station, and other civilian areas.
In defense of this horrendous attack on Ukrainian civilians, the Russian Federation made the absurd claim that its missiles did not harm anyone in Ukraine and that instead Ukraine's defense systems caused the deaths of the victims. The Kremlin's rhetoric and lies do not erase or conceal the horrifying wreckage across the country and thousands of innocent lives lost since the start of the war, said Ambassador Kelly.
This attack is yet another warning of what is at stake. It shows us why the international community must continue to support Ukraine. It shows us why the international community must continue to demand Russia cease its aggression and immediately withdraw from Ukraine's internationally recognized territory.
The United States stands with Ukraine and will continue to call for accountability for the crimes of Russian officials and forces against the people of Ukraine, said Ambassador Kelly. We will not abandon the brave people of Ukraine who are fighting today for their freedom and for their country.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.